You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition of the podcast. Bit of an earlier start for us on Friday. We're on air at 1:10 on Friday afternoon with Dave Kellner, Gary Capel and Ross Briley guiding you through the day's racing. We've got Sandown to come as our main afternoon meeting. That's supported by cards at Doncaster and Newton Abbott. And we race domestically in the evening at Beverley, Chelmsford and Haydock. There's also a couple of Irish cards as well at Bellewstown and Wexford. It's all going on Friday. Hopefully you can join us from 10 past one. As I say, DK will be joined by Gary and Ross for the day's racing. Sam Norris here and Chris Pimlott is the man on the podcast today, tasked with finding us a couple of winners on Friday's cards. Pimmers, are you well?
I am indeed. I am indeed enjoying this wonderful summer that the good Lord has given us. It's smashing stuff. Yeah, enjoying it.
Yeah, have you been very busy? Obviously, the point-to-point season's come to an end, but there's more to you than just the point-to-point, isn't there, Pimmers?
There is indeed, yeah. The riding school's obviously been very busy with the great weather. Again, everybody thinks August is a real good month for us, but actually it's not.
Okay.
Because the kids all go on holiday.
So oh, right, of course, yeah.
The mums will come and say, well, can't book him in now because we're going on Saturday,
yeah.
2 weeks away. We come back, we've got a wedding or something.
Yeah,
so it goes a little bit pear-shaped in August, but certainly the last month, 6 weeks has been very good.
Yeah, good.
And the weather helps, no end.
Yeah. I can imagine people are more inclined to be out riding in this weather, aren't
they? That's right. Although, again, conditions are not ideal because the artificial surfaces that we have, which is usually sand and rubber, very dry and get very deep.
Right.
And then the fields are very hard.
Okay.
So it's hard work for the ponies both ways, you know what I mean?
Not too dissimilar to what we've been seeing up and down the country, of course. It's been rattling quick ground on the turf tracks, but the all-weather suffers in the heat and obviously gets a little bit slower.
So, that's right, they get a bit deeper, a bit looser, you know? Mm. And that's simply because they need some rain on them.
Yeah. Good weekend of racing upcoming, of course, at Sandown, the first of their 2 days of the meeting on Friday, but Saturday's action is obviously of paramount importance in terms of the Group 1 racing. We've got the Eclipse as a feature on Saturday, and the final field has been declared for this one this morning. And Saxon Warrior, an interesting participant. It looked as though the Judmont was going to be Saxon Warrior's next destination until Aidan O'Brien hinted yesterday that they may well be right for another crack at Massar this weekend. Saxon Warrior is in the final field. Massar tops it at 13-8. Roaring Lion is 3-1 with Saxon Warrior. Happily is 8-1. Forest Ranger 12s. 25-1 Cliffs of Moher. Hawk Bill 25-1. And Raymond Tusk is in there at 100-1. Obviously, Saxon Warrior beating the Irish Derby at the Curragh last weekend. Has another go at Massar who beat him in the Derby. The one to beat again, Massar, even though I suppose the Derby form hasn't looked rock solid, but all he's got to do really is beat horses that he's already beat here.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's only got to beat what he beats in good fashion last time out. Personally, I'd question the participation of Saxon Warrior, but who are we to question?
The lads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The lads and in. So
yes.
You'd have to think that he's pleased them in his workout this morning and he's coming to take his chance. But really and truly, you know, I can't see him reversing the form with Massa. I just feel, though, the drop-in trip for Massa might be slightly negative, and that's why I'm going to side with Roaring Lion.
Okay.
Because he's very impressive in the Dante. Admittedly, you know, the Dante's only Group 2, but I do feel that was a very pleasing run, and I thought his run in the Derby was plenty strong enough behind Massa, and more than likely that the extra 2 furlongs was just a bit of a negative to him. He seems to be growing up mentally and physically. You know, he's been known to hang a little bit in the past. But again, the last couple of times he's been pretty straightforward. He's with a man who is more than happy to coach them along steadily. He's in no big rush. Positive vibes from the stable as well. And I just think this could be the start of a roaring lion and the three lions within the space of an hour or so.
That would be fabulous, wouldn't it? Really?
Wouldn't it just?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a very apt winner.
If you're looking for that sort of little in, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. The concern, I suppose, obviously, Massar's beaten Roaring Lion over three different trips thus far, including over a mile at the Craven. Obviously, this is over slightly further. And a sense that you're in a forgiving mood for that defeat in the Craven, where he didn't look very good, Roaring Lion, but he certainly bounced back after that.
Yeah, he did. He didn't perform for whatever reason that day. And you're dead right. You know, Massar should have the beating of him again. But I just think that the extra less 2 furlongs from the Derby is going to suit Roaring Lion more than it'll suit Massar.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean,
we will.
There's been plenty of knockers at the Derby form so far, simply because the ones that's been behind him haven't really run up to expectations.
Yes.
But, you know,
it's those same horses
exactly,
again, though,
isn't it? You can't take it away from him, can you, I suppose?
Yes.
So we'll watch this space, but I think it's the Lions. It's the day for the Lions, Saturday.
Hopefully so. Roaring Lion in there at 3-1 to win the Eclipse. That's coming up on Saturday. We'll take a closer inspection on some of the racing on Friday now, because there's a couple of decent listed races to kickstart the meeting at Sandown. We begin with the 150. This is the listed Dragon Stakes over 5 furlongs. Got a field of 7 that are lining up for this. Well done, Fox, likely to be the one to top the betting. Great name for a race, this, Pimmers, the Dragon Stakes.
It is indeed, yeah.
Love that.
It is indeed. And again, will be interesting to see this race, because a lot of these 7 runners were in the same race at Royal Ascot in the Windsor Castle Stakes. Jungle in the Bungle. Yeah, I was right the first time. Yeah. So good they named him twice.
It doesn't sound right saying it that way around.
Doesn't it? I mean, he disappointed, to be fair. He was 26 of the 28 on that occasion. The one that finished closest to the winner was Well Done Fox, and he finished 8th. I mean, he was a big price that day. He was a 66-1 shot, but, you know, take it nothing away from him. He did run a really good race. And, again, you've got to say, well, can some of these other guys that were behind him last time change that around? And I'm not really sure that they can, to be perfectly honest. And because of that, you know, that's why they've made him favourite. And I think he's worthy of that on that Windsor Castle run. So hopefully he runs to that level again, and he'll have the beating of one or two of the others that took him on at Ascot.
Yeah, well done, Fox, the selection then. Richard Hannon and Ryan Moore teaming up with that one in the 150.
And the other thing is, Mick Shannon, 2 runners. Me and Mick Shannon, we just can't gel.
Right.
So you really narrow it down to 5 for me then.
Okay.
Having said that, Mick's horse has been in fantastic form this season.
Mm. Yeah, they certainly have. Well done, Fox is the one who gets the vote in that one. And the other listed race on the card comes up at 3:30. This is the Gala Stakes over a mile and a furlong. Another listed prize on offer. Dead 8 runners line up for this one. I'm less enthusiastic about the name of this race, Pimmers.
Yeah.
It's not quite as grand as a dragon.
Exactly. That's definitely not. You know, you can have lots of things for a gala, couldn't you?
Yeah,
but
you can.
We'll not go down that road.
Hopefully the Dead 8 stand their ground, though, because there could be each way possibilities in this race. We've got last year's winner, of course, Spark Plug, who's unlikely to be going off the same kind of price that he did last year. Perhaps not quite the same horse that won it 12 months ago.
Yeah, definitely not. He ran at Royal Ascot, and he didn't run too bad, to be fair. He was 7th of 16 behind Monarch's Glen, and that was in the listed company. He was a 25-1 shot there. So, again, no reason to think that he's going to put back-to-back wins in this race tomorrow afternoon. We've got to take on trust that Mustachery. Got to take on trust that Sir Michael Stout has him fit to do himself justice after a 280-day absence.
Stout Yard have been in good nick, though, lately, haven't they?
They have, yeah.
Had a good royal meeting and have carried that on.
And again, a master of his trade. You know, he brought this horse along quietly last season. He had a good season. Last run was very disappointing, but I think we can forgive him that. And again, he comes here from a yard that's actually in good form. So he's definitely a big, big player, providing that he strips fit. Obviously, Eugenio's been running very well for the Hannon Yard of late, finishing 2nd on a couple of occasions. That was a real good run behind Monarch's Glen at Ascot. He was a big price there as well, to be fair, Eugenio, being a 33-1 shot. But he really battled hard in that contest, and despite him being second the last couple of times, I don't think there's an issue with his attitude. So he's certainly a player, and he is a C&D winner, which again can be important here at Sandown. Of the others, I thought First Sitting was interesting for the Chris Wallyard, Gerald Mossey doing the steering on that one. He was a winner the time before last, and again comes into this race with a big chance. If you're looking for something for a bit of value that you're wanting to back each way, maybe, then I think you could take a chance with Connect. I don't know what price he is at the moment.
On the forecast, because he's not priced up at the time of recording, 7-1 on the forecast.
Yeah, so if he price him up round that at 7-1, he's a bet each way for nothing, basically. He supports the hood. And again, a little bit to find on official ratings, but I think that win last time out at Epsom will certainly have boosted his confidence.
Okay, Connect then, maybe the each-way angle into the race in the Spence colours for Clive Cox and Andrea Atzeni. Thank you for that, Pimmers. Quickly recap your two selections then for Friday's racing at Sandown, if you would.
Yeah, we will indeed. In the Dragon Stakes that you so much like, we're going to have a well-done fox. Talking of foxes,
yeah,
I wonder if he's still living, our very own Silver Fox, or has he gone to ground?
Morbid that, Pimmers. Morbid.
Yeah, well, it might be true, though. And
I hope not.
And in the Gala Stakes, thinking that Mushtari will win, but looking for a big run from Connect each way.
Good stuff. Thank you very much to Chris Pimlott then for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Don't forget Racing Radio Live from 1:10 on Friday afternoon with Dave Kellner, joined by Ross Briley and Gary Capewell for all of the day's racing. Hope you can join us for all of that. Pim, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you and enjoy the Sandown this weekend.
Can't wait.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.